Now, 48 attorneys general and Federal Trade Commission each filed antitrust lawsuits against Facebook this week. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call joined the suit filed by states, saying in a statement that, quote, Facebook's market power and tactics have meant less privacy and less choice for consumers, as well as less tech innovation, quote. Among the issues raised in the suits, Facebook's acquisition of former competitors Instagram and WhatsApp. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Facebook is too big, especially when you throw in Instagram and other former competitors it bought over the years? Do you like the idea of state and or federal government stepping in to regulate it? What kind of changes would you like to see? What questions do you have about how this works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Matthew Minton is professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School, where he also teaches antitrust law. Matt, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good. Well, we've got this set of lawsuits, a lot of common threads between them. At the heart of them, what kind of arguments are we seeing from the Federal Trade Commission and from these attorneys general about what is wrong at Facebook?
Well, the attorney general's lawsuits, you know, basically claim that Facebook has a monopoly in personal social network marketing in the United States. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a monopoly. But the question is, how did you acquire it and what are you doing to maintain it? And the allegations are essentially that Facebook has, adopted an effort, as they're describing in the complaint, tried to build a competitive moat around the company, and that the company's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, has a reputation for, quote, wielding Facebook's power as a sword, which Section 2 of the Sherman Act prohibits. That's part of the federal antitrust laws, and it's designed to maintain a level playing field. And the claim is essentially that, you know, the acquisition of Instagram, WhatsApp, another company, Novo, and some other things are really designed to further that monopoly. It chills innovation because there's not the competitive threat from others. And as a result, consumers are worse off.
Let's talk about that consumers being worse off angle, because an everyday Facebook user and maybe Instagram user too might say, hey, I use these social media platforms. I'm happy with the options out there for me. So why punish this company for creating / buying things that I like to use?
Well, the question would be, would there be, you know, even better options that would be out there? Or if the allegation is that if Facebook wasn't trying to keep, you know, harm its actual competitors or those who could potentially compete with it, there would be more innovation and there would be greater control that users of Facebook had over, you know, who would have access to various things. And there would be greater protection of privacy. So it's the idea being that, you know, even if at least some or most people are happy with currently what they get from Facebook, they might be even happier if, these things can engage in this alleged anti-competitive conduct.
We are talking to Matthew Minton, professor of law and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School. He teaches antitrust law there, and we're talking about two different lawsuits being brought against Facebook, one by attorneys general from many states, bipartisan group that includes Wisconsin, one from the Federal Trade Commission looking for changes at Facebook. Matthew, what kind of remedies are these lawsuits seeking? What changes do they want to see happen?
Well, the state attorney general's lawsuit, it's rather broad. They want first the court to determine, you know, one, that Facebook engaged in illegal monopolization in violation of Section 2 of the Sherman Act, that the Instagram and WhatsApp acquisitions violated another part of the federal antitrust laws, Clayton Act Section 7, which prohibits any acquisitions which may have the effect of tending to create a monopoly. And broadly asked that there be a restoration of competitive conditions, including, you know, any divestiture of Facebook assets or business lines that the court deems necessary to do so. And then the other thing is they're asking the court for an order that anytime Facebook is considering acquiring a company for a price of more than $10 million, they can notify the state's attorney general so they could raise any objections to it.
We are talking about lawsuits against Facebook with Matt Mitten from Marquette Law School. Two antitrust lawsuits filed against Facebook this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? Do you think there should be these lawsuits? Do you want changes at Facebook? Do you feel like they're engaged in anti-competitive behavior? If so, what remedy do you want to see? If not, make the case that this shouldn't go ahead. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up next on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Marquette University Law School Professor Matt Mitten, looking at antitrust lawsuits filed against Facebook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions about how this all works and your thoughts about whether you think Facebook has amassed too much power and is engaging in anti-competitive behavior. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to a caller now. Tina is with us in Kenosha. Tina, hi.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, I've got a couple of things. First of all, I think his argument is flawed because of the fact that most of the time, one side of the coin is less government on anything. We don't even have a national health care. Yet government goes after a platform of social media, which I find quite interesting considering how it connects people all over the globe. And as far as stifling creativity, I don't think Facebook has done that, number one, because anybody can create another platform and have, and whether people gravitate to that or not is what people will do. That's my point.
Thanks a lot for the call. Let's take those points one at a time. Matt, Tina feels like this particular social media sector of the economy is getting a lot of attention where the government isn't aggressively pursuing other sectors of the economy with antitrust action.
Yeah, I think I would first point out that she used the word he is advocating, and I'm not advocating anything. I'm just describing the, you know, allegations by the, you know, 47 or 48 state attorneys general. I mean, I'm as a law professor, I'm not asked my opinion as to, and I wasn't on this suit, as to whether this suit should be brought or not. But, you know, I think the first, you know, one of the points that she made is that, well, you know, anyone can set up something like this. And, you know, that really isn't true. That might have been the case back around the time when, you know, Facebook was created, which is, I think, 2004, and it overtook MySpace. But now, because of something known as network effects, it's just that once you get more and more people on here, and there are, you know, what would the allegations are that about half of the adults in the U.S. are on this, that you have to get a certain huge, huge core group and, you know, to set up a competing personal social, you know, networking market in the U.S. And then people, once they get familiar with something, there's what's known as switching costs to switch over to a competing thing. And when you've got, you know, hundreds or even thousands of connections, friends and family that people do, that makes it pretty difficult to do. So it's not as easy, not as simple as just, well, someone else can start up, you know, an online platform and effectively compete with Facebook.
And another point here, we've talked about Facebook buying potential characters. People have talked about, competitors. People have talked about buy or bury. Facebook using its leverage to, for a while, allow a potential competitor to work through Facebook and then shutting them down, in effect. That's another part of these lawsuits, right?
Yeah, very much so. The idea is, you know, one of the key acquisitions was a company called Anavo that had the ability to track which applications were gaining traction. So once you find out that, hey, this is potentially a competitive threat, try to buy them and acquire them. Or if they don't do that, try to, deprive, an actual or potential competitor of resources that they would need to compete with Facebook. Now, one thing I think that's important to keep in mind is, back to this principle, there's nothing wrong. Facebook initially, became the, predominant personal social networking market here in the U.S. because it offered better innovation and other features than MySpace did. And that's perfectly fine. And it's okay as long as, Facebook is, enhancing its own capacity for innovation, quality, that sort of thing. Back to the idea that, it's, Section 2 is designed to maintain a level playing field. You can't do anything to use that power to keep others out of the market and from competing with you. And that's the thing that's being challenged here.
Let's bring on another caller now. We've got Bob on the line in Westby. Bob, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Bob?
The point I would bring up, I am not on Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp. But and I would certainly agree that they've become a monopoly. The problem I face is that it seems to me the Sherman Act was in effect back in 2012 when Facebook was given permission to acquire these other companies. And they might indeed have gotten it wrong at that time, but it seems to me the government made a commitment to allow them to buy those companies at that time.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. And that's a point, Matt, that Facebook is definitely making. You approved it then. No backsies. Why is, the law isn't any different now than it was when you approved these buyouts?
Well, that's true. The law is the same. The federal antitrust laws, which are, the provision that this suit's being brought under has not changed. But it was the federal government that provided approval. Now, you've got two arms, the Federal Trade Commission, as well as the, antitrust division, which is part of the Department of Justice. And it got approval from, they typically work together, and that approval was given. But I think it's probably likely that the antitrust division approved it. The FTC might not have. And so they wouldn't be precluded from bringing their suit. But probably more importantly, and this goes to the relief that the 47 state attorney generals are asking for. They said, look, we weren't asked about whether we wanted, we weren't given notice of this and didn't have an opportunity to challenge it then. So their claim is, and that is one of the things, you can have, state entities after the fact challenging an acquisition that the federal government entities charged with enforcing the antitrust laws think was okay at the time. And then if there's a dispute between various states that we have here and perhaps the federal government, I didn't get a chance to take a close look at the FTC suit, then it's going to be up to a court to resolve it.
Let's bring on another caller now. Aaron is with us in Oshkosh. Aaron, hello.
Hey, everyone. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's a very interesting topic. I, of course, always appreciate everyone on the public radio side making the show possible. I basically have three points to make, and I'll be as clear and concise as possible. Point number one, capitalism. Participate in it or don't. And after that, to link Facebook towards my life experience. Back in the 90s, Bill Gates cost me $37,000 by squashing a stock that I was invested in long enough so they could launch their own Microsoft Office platform that would integrate your emails, your faxes, and your other inter-office communiques. Then in the 90s, they pulled Bill Gates before Congress and tried to get him with all this monopoly stuff. And I said, leave him alone. That's
Aaron,
capitalism.
Thanks a lot for the call. Matt, that's capitalism. That's how business works, Aaron says, even though he was on the losing end of that particular exchange.
Well, in the U.S., we don't have laissez-faire capitalism where it's anything goes. I mean, we do have federal antitrust laws that have been around since the late 1800s. And, you know, certainly the interpretation of them, you know, change over time. There's no question about that. But the bottom line is any company that does business in the United States has to comply with them. So you can't, I mean, again, it's okay to, you know, even a very large company, someone with monopoly power, they are, in fact, they're encouraged to engage in free, fair competition on the merits. But you got to make sure that competitor, you're not doing what's characterized as illegal, predatory, or exclusionary conduct to drive out competitors. And again, I'm not advocating for or against any of the allegations in this lawsuit. I just read it through. It's a very lengthy complaint for the first time, and I'm just trying to provide a very balanced perspective of some of the allegations. And, you know, Facebook is going to allege, hey, this is just all fair competition on the merits. We are not doing anything that hurts consumers or that prevents anyone from competing against us.
Thanks for that call, Aaron. We'll go to Mark with us now in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Hi. I was listening to your conversation, and I'm not sure that we can classify Facebook as a monopoly. I know that word has been getting thrown around. The business is communications, and there are other platforms out there to communicate, whether it's telephone, email, landlines, using the post office. There's lots of ways to communicate, of which Facebook is just one of them. Now, that may not excuse their behavior as being predatory, but I don't think we can capitalize or label them as a monopoly. And that's what I wanted to say.
Mark, thanks for the call. It's an interesting thought, Matt. How do courts look at that idea of defining what the sector is in the first place? Is Facebook a monopoly in social media, or is it just one of many alternatives of communication?
Well, Mark raises a very good point, because the first element is we have to ask, does Facebook have monopoly power in a properly defined relevant market, is the terminology used. And it's got both a product or service component as well as a geographical component. And what's being alleged in this complaint is that there aren't any reasonable substitutes from the perspective of consumers for what Facebook offers. The claim is that this is a, quote, unique online communication service. It's even distinct from something like, you know, LinkedIn, which is used mainly on the business side, or texting, or any other forms of communication. The allegation is that what makes this unique is that there's not any reasonable substitute as a way to post photos, to get in touch, you know, instantaneously with, you know, a couple hundred or even a couple thousand family members and friends. So that will be, you know, one of the issues that the court's going to have to resolve is this personal social networking market. Is one, is that the appropriate relevant service market? And then the other claim is that, you know, any other, you know, similar network outside the United States is not reasonably interchangeable, because apparently it's just people are on this largely to connect with those within their home country. So you're going to have to get, you know, some experts, some perhaps consumer surveys. This is a very complicated issue that I think will be, you know, very hotly contested by both sides.
In our last minute or so, Matt, I want to ask you to predict an outcome, but how long could it take for a case like this to resolve through the courts?
Well, particularly now during the pandemic, with a lot of courts having been shut for many months and they're coming back very slowly. And as the, you know, COVID-19 infection rates ramp up I don't think this is going to be resolved for, you know, probably at least 2 years in the trial court. And then depending upon which way it comes out, it'll almost certainly get appealed and then maybe might go on to Supreme Court discretionary review. I would say if the state attorney generals can prove what they're alleging in the lawsuit, they will win. The real question is going to be, what's the remedy? Because the court, you know, would at most, they just enjoin, you know, the conduct that resulted, that hurt consumers, but yet you don't want to tie Facebook's hands so much that they can't engage in fair competition on the merits. And those are always really impossible to predict until you actually see the evidence that comes out in the case.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Matthew Minton is a professor of law at Marquette University Law School, where he teaches antitrust law. We talked to him today about Facebook facing two new antitrust lawsuits, one from the Federal Trade Commission, one from attorneys general from a number of states, including Wisconsin.